Okay, we're now moving on to part B, which is a chart of the FAGEX, the Fidelity Capital and Income Fund. But the important thing is I've also added a table of performances, which is in green, and the title for that part is How Best Bonds Plus Gold Works Relative to Some Alternative Investment Approaches. And then subtitle is 2 year sums of returns as of November 3rd, which means that these numbers don't include the big update on the 4th, the big rally on the 4th. But it doesn't turn out any difference because what you're trying to do is comparing the table of alternatives for 2009 as the first set of figures and 2010 as the second set of figures, and then we added up those percentages. If you're an accountant or anything, you know how to do that stuff. You don't add percentages; you multiply the ratios in order to get the final sum. But I was just doing this on Wednesday afternoon, and I decided to just put the percentages in because all we're trying to do is look at the relative rankings and prove the case that why what the alternatives are and how you can come at the things from a different side. Then the next step will be we're going to go into the gold. Part three is going to be gold, where we're going to come up with a different strategy, and then we're going to come up with different strategies using the money flow T's in order to hopefully gauge how we're going to decide how my company is going to decide what they're going to do as far as what position they have, what the precision size is, and what the timing is going to be. Okay, so let's look at the table. First of all, we have cap and income, which is the chart that's shown here, FAGIX. And you see that in 2009, it was up 72%. In 2010, it was up, as of the third, it was up 14.5%. So we say the sum is 86%. If you look at the chart, you can see what's happened is that the true bear markets, when they really get into the late stages in the 2002-2003 period and then in the 2008 period, you see that these die in. That's because they act like common stocks. They are bonds, but they are of a risky nature and they play out pretty much what the stock market does. Coming out of the 2009 low, you'll see that it's made a new high, and then it pulled back when we had the April top, and then it's come back up, and it's gone on to new highs. And the pattern looks very strong. The reason the pattern looks very strong is because people, in my opinion, is that they're very desperate for yield. You know, there are a lot of investors that don't stop in their consideration beyond the fact that, the guy's made money, and he's giving me a high yield, and I need the high yield in order to support my lifestyle. So these guys fill the bill, and there's a lot of money going into this kind of a high yield bond situation. The recent Fed action, which is an endorsement of not having a double dip, means that they've reduced the risk of rolling over into one of these declines. And so that enhances the upside potential for this kind of investment. It also causes inflation, so it has a problem on the long-term treasury bonds, which was the other side of the case. But we discussed that last week, and I'll pick up on it again on it next week. So anyway, that's an 86% return, and that's basically what we call best bond. Now the plus part is the gold, but let's go through and look at some of the other alternatives. Now Matthews China is a first rate fund in the Orient because Mr. Matthews spent 30 years in the they know China. Okay, it produced a better 78% in 2009. It's produced a better result in 2010 as of the November 3rd. So that's 96, and 96 is bigger than 86. Okay, but they're both pretty good numbers. If you take Apple Computer, which has probably been the greatest, the one that everybody wished they owned,
146% in 2009, 48% in 2010, so you get 194%. Well, 194% better than anybody else, so okay, it's 100% better. Okay, but you could have bought Microsoft, you know, and you got Microsoft is 59%. Then they lost 10% in the latest year to date up to November 3, so it's 49%. But then you look at TDLX, which is the Tocqueville Gold, managed by John Hathaway, who I discuss in detail in the next segment, Part C. And that's 129%. And then following up, you have the S&P 500, 26%, plus 8%. That, as of the November 3rd, is 34%. Now, everybody's gone up from this one, but the numbers aren't going to really change very much now because you're going into the top in the T, and the 13th T will eventually snuff you out. And, you know, relatively for the rankings, I think that's a pretty good set of things to look at is what are your alternatives. You could be a stodgy investor and go with Microsoft. You could be an aggressive investor and go with Apple, which is an emerging fund. You could go with an emerging fund like China, which is a real good thing. And you could stick with an index fund. Vanguard's big on index funds and get the S&P, the 34% plus or minus whatever is going to happen. But I still claim that the capital and income is the better fund. If under the right conditions. And if you, when you get to the capital and income under the right conditions, the logical answer is Tocqueville Gold, because Tocqueville Gold at 129 can trump China. Okay. When you're analyzing this thing from my perspective in the management area, you have to ask, what is the end result? What's the end game? The end game for China and the end game for gold are two different ones, because in T theory, the end game for gold is to go up to a peak another 10 years from now, estimated to be $4,800 for the price of gold, but an uptrend in a T, which we have discussed in the past. I'll probably show you the chart again just to remind you of that, but he says that's what the uptrend is for gold. It has gone through a large cycle of down 20 years from 80 to 2001. It's going to go up for 20 years to 2002, and it has little corrections along the way. If you look at the China Fund and ask what is its ultimate game, China Fund is known to be a cyclical fund. That is, it didn't do very well because I owned it at the top of T12. And I was reluctant to sell it because I thought, you know, this is the great company. What do you want to let it go? But we eventually had to let it go. But China was a great casualty because it basically becomes cyclical in the end. If you want to ask what the ultimate aim of China is, the ultimate aim of China is to overcome the United States and screw everybody in the United States. And you can send a Secretary of the Treasury there to beg them for money because they've got it all. They've got all the growth. But they're just going to screw the U.S., so you know before you sign on to the idea that you can make most of your money in a China or Asia type of an environment, you have to realize that you're better off to come into the gold area. We have a known T theory. You're coming in with a known area, and you have it. The people that are going to end up losers are the people that aren't going to have any participation in the gold, and they're going to go over to let me put it this way. The people that go to the emerging markets and the people that go to the gold are both the same, are doing the same thing. They're trying to get out of the U.S., okay, because it's not managed. There are management problems. The $600 billion is really creating paper money to cover up past indiscretions and complicate the whole issue for the future. And our long-term forecast takes that into account because you're going into a gradual downslide, which after we finish this T up here, which goes down to going into the 2013 area, and by the time you get into the 2012 area, which is the late stages of the bear market, you're likely to find out that the big problem is that nobody wants to own dollars. If you take a simple example, another money management example, of a person who has a nice home is in business and has a portfolio, three items, which constitute his investments and you put them in, each one equal to one-third of the total. You could buy a lot of gold to offset the decline in the dollar that's coming, but two-thirds of your investment, that is your home and your business, are still going to be denominated in dollars. And if the dollar is being diminished in its value, you eventually get to the point where that two-thirds gets into trouble. It's a very much of an indirect, I mean, you still pay with dollars. I mean, you own dollars, you go to stores and you buy dollars. But the declining dollar is going to make all the things that we buy from Asia, which is the only place we buy things from anymore, more expensive. So, spending all this money is going to push the price of oil up, and and the grain prices are up. So you're going to get commodity inflation, which makes you poorer. You're going to be buying imports that are going to be more expensive, and then in the end, which you're going to probably by the year 2012. You're going to discover that there is that you've been living beyond your means, and the weakness in the currency just tells you you have to go into an austerity program, and they can't pay the unemployment, maintain the Social Security or some other things, which are what some of the debtor countries are discovering, and that's how you end up losing. If you put all of your money in gold, you still can't win because in this example, two-thirds of the money is still kept in dollars. So the strategy, the very long-term strategy, is to go into a depression where you can buy up assets that are real cheap. And I just that's where we're going, okay, for the future. But I thought if you just looked at these numbers, you would have to say that, you know, even Microsoft beat the S&P 500, because they've got a name and everything, but you really, when you say best bond plus gold, picking the right bonds and staying with gold is a very good strategy because you can trump anything else if you combine the two. Or you don't have to be the top winner on the moment. Now, let's go back to the look at the details in the chart because I have a question on this one. If you divide this by the, if you go to the T-theory confidence indicator, confidence indicator has not gone to new highs. But if you look at the bottom in here, if you go back and you remember what happened is after we made the April top and we went down, I saw an accumulation pattern. And this accumulation pattern, I thought, was a good place to buy, to switch over from treasuries to FAGEX. On account of the recovery had occurred before the August 26 center post low, which generally means that you can get away with a rally. Then, so this is what I did in my company. It came up, and then I didn't like the market, so I got out of FAGEX, and I went back down again. And then when I confirmed the T, I went back to FAGEX, and that's how I got it in. So it's not a particularly graceful thing to have to do that. But when you say best bond, it turns out best bond is really the better of the two alternatives, as best you can determine them from the short-term indicators. And in this case, you do it twice. It's not very graceful. But that's what they call the cost of doing business. When you're a professional business, and sometimes it takes two times. You get whipsawed the first time. You get it right the second time. To get things done. And that's what people that aren't in business think that's terrible. But when you're in business, that's what they call that's something that you put into the heading of the cost of doing business. Okay, if you want to play the game, you have this problems of cutting out when you think things didn't work out, and then coming back the second time, and you just swallow your pride and you just go into it. And that's where you go. We're going to have another situation on this one when we come back to the Treasury bonds, which could be a problem too, because at some point in that forecast, you're going to turn over the Treasury bonds, and nobody wants to buy Treasury bonds now. I mean, that thing's been queered with the PIMCO stuff. I think that's a bunch of baloney. But, you know, you can tell that from how our forecast goes, because once you get that forecast to roll over into the null loco and then you can't recover, they'll change their mind on the bonds pretty fast because, you know, Wall Street's all about greed. And if they see it's not working, they just run for havens. Okay, so that something to think about. I just say that the best plan plus gold is really a good strategy, and you can come up with all alternatives, but you have to look at the numbers and see how they go. Everybody makes their own choice. Okay, so that's it. Now we're going to move on to the to part C, which is the TGGLDX, which is the Hathaway's fund, and the first part of that is the Hathaway story, what he thinks is going on, and then we're going to do long range teas in the Tocqueville Gold Fund. Thank you.